malacha, loving work. Person, whatever a person's work is, everyone has a work. Everyone has to make a parnasa. We learned about it today, the Gemara in Kedushin, the Flamid. A person has to work, a person has to support a family. Whatever a person's doing, make sure you love what you're doing. Make sure you love what you're doing, because if not, if you don't like what you're doing, that's not kishmak, that's not going to be too good. And not only will it not be too good, but you won't be good at what you're doing. You won't be successful, you won't be good at it, you won't enjoy it, it's not going to be good. I personally, I went to school and whatever, so I was going for dentistry. I did some science courses in chemistry. Unfortunately, it was for nothing. But I went through all this stuff. Well, who knows what the reasons for doing things are, but I went through this. Why do I want to be a dentist? I was going for dentistry. Why do I want to be a dentist? Because I saw these dentists, they're able to work half a day. They make, they pull out your tooth for $150. It takes about 5 minutes. Such a good parnasa. And Lamaisa, I hated the sciences. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't have. It's not my speed. I like business. I like that much more. But I went for it because I thought, it'll be so good. I'll be able to learn half a day. I really had good intentions. But Lamaisa, Baruch Hashem, I cut my losses short. I said, okay, I wasted this and this much time taking these courses. And that's it. I hate this. I hate the schooling. I'll hate the work itself. Baruch Hashem, and Chazdi Hashem, I stopped. And I'm doing what I enjoy, which is going towards business. It's not for Gishmak. If it's Malacha, make sure you love what you do. Love what you do. If you don't love what you do, it's no good. So whatever you go for, don't do it. Just a lot of it. You have to do something that's going to make a living. You can't decide you like kids, you want to be a babysitter, You're not able to support, you're not going to be able to pay tuition for your kids. You have no chance. At least it's something that if you're matriarch, you'll be able to, give yourself the ability. You based off the suach levacha, At least give yourself a chance to make money. But make sure you love what you're doing, because then you'll be matriarch and you'll enjoy. You'll have a tzlach. If you don't love what you're doing, it's the worst thing. So I learned that lesson sort of the hard way, and I want to share it with you. Make sure you love what you're doing. Sometimes there's a problem. People go to Kleil, myself, people are in Kleil. And then what happens, it could happen like this, someone decides, I already have 3-4 kids, I'm already 28, whatever, how many years old, I have bills I can't afford, I need to get a job, what am I qualified to do? Might as well, I guess I just go into Chinuch now, right? I guess I just become a Rebbe, that's just like the natural thing to do, right? Don't do that unless you want to be a Rebbe. Unless you think you'll be good, you enjoy it, you want to be good at it. Don't become a Rebbe by default because, you have nothing to do and you're learning, so mainly you're trained in Torah. If you're not going to enjoy it, you don't want to do it, don't do it. Don't ruin the kids. You know what I mean? We need Rebbeim that enjoy it, that want to do it. Don't just go into something, and usually it's people that are into it, Baruch Hashem, they're people that want to be into it. But just as an example, don't just fall into some parnasa because that's what you want. Do something that you want to do. Don't just go like some people, their shver is business. Whatever my shver. I have some friends, they want to work for their shver. They were too lazy to get involved in anything themselves, so their shver has a business, they work for the shver. And they're not happy. Maybe you could be happy working for a shver, but maybe you're not going to enjoy that. Maybe there's no... Make sure you enjoy what you're doing. It's more kedai to enjoy what you're doing. And again, you'll be more mashliach. So make sure... How you malacha? It's a good yisoid. I think the Rav brings it down. Love work. Some people, they want to retire. Especially they have money. They already made some money. They want to retire now. It's time to retire. Early retirement. Want to go into early retirement, It's not a good thing. It's terrible. It's the worst thing. Unless you have what to do, it's the worst thing in the world. You drive your wife crazy. You'll be in Lidnick. You'll start, realizing things need to be fixed that never bothered anyone for 30 years. You start breaking down your house. It's crazy. A person has nothing to do. It's the worst thing in the world. It's not just the worst thing in the world. People that aren't busy. You should be busy. You should be busy. A man has to have a place to go. A person might have an office to go to, a base medrash to go to, whatever he does. A person should have a place to go outside the house. You should keep himself busy. Otherwise, you drive your wife. It's good advice. You'll kill the marriage when you get older. So, a person has to keep himself busy. A person has to be happy. A person has to love to, go do work. There's nothing wrong with doing work. The person will explain. Some people say, certain work's too chashuv for me, and avail in the shuk. I'm not going to go. No, go do work. There's nothing wrong with it. Do work. It's an important thing. It's a tired idea that a person should keep himself busy. A person should love to work. He should go do work. What's the lashon ahayv? We ask, why is this day over here all of a sudden to love or to hate? What's the lashon ahayv? That's just because if you don't love to work, you're not going to do it. Or like we spoke about, that you should like to do the hard work, you know, do all the work that needs to be done. Don't just love the position. If you don't love to do work, you can't just say, you know, do work. Why does Mishnah Rabbah say all of a sudden to love it? Because if you don't love it, you won't do it. Person, you know, wants to be menucha. You know, a person wants to be menucha. People don't like to, you know, hard work. But you have to love to do it. You have to want to do it, and then you'll do it. Or learning Torah. Torah is also melacha. Love to develop a cheshik for Torah. That's why Hashem makes it that Torah becomes a cheshik. Otherwise, it would be so you can't do it. You have to love what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with having the gishmak and learning. Then you could do it. Ahayv is a melacha. Love the melacha. And then you'll be able to do it. Also, we were speaking before about like retiring. I see like my grandfather's the mashal, right? So they worked, you know, hard and everything. The mechanos is Baruch Hashem. So then it came time for retirement. So what does an old man do when he's, you know, an older, what does he do? He sits on, you know, today they sit on the golf course. I mean, what, I just heard a story of this guy. Okay, it has nothing to do with, okay, this guy decided to run away from Torah. He was a survivor of the war. Survived the war, him and his wife. His wife was stayed very firm. I wanted to raise the kids from it. He was already like, he was very much clear in business. He became very wealthy. And he kind of, you know, he wanted to sort of start to do away with it. But his wife kept strapped. His wife kept brought the kids up from and everything. Eventually he ended up running off, you know, he took off with the secretary, left his family, almost left everything. Parked himself in Florida somewhere on a golf course. Didn't take long. Remember, the guy ran away from Hashem. Didn't take long. He's the first guy it ever happened to over there. A golf ball came from nowhere, swacked him in the head, boom, the guy was dead on the spot. Killed him. Knocked out. You know, the guy decided he's going to run away, he's going to kill him. But that's I just heard that story recently, I have to share it with you. It's a crazy story. It's not a shame we want to. But the kids are, you're talking about golf courses, you know. The kids are, don't run away from Hashem, you know. No, but retirement, so my grandfather, right, so what do? They have a shiur in the morning, a shiur in the afternoon, they go for a walk. I mean, Baruch Hashem, they know how to learn. What would happen if a guy doesn't know how to learn? What are you going to do when you get older? You're going to be mamish and livnik. You're going to be driving your life crazy. Like, that's some reason. It's a very, you know, that's some reason to know how to learn now when we're younger. We should have a life when we're older. No, it's really true. You see all this, in Bar Park, all the men that go to the senior share, every place they have a senior share, they keep themselves busy, they're happy, their minds at work, they don't age, they don't get so, I just give up. You know, what are you going to do when you're older? You have to have melacha. Learn Torah. You'll have melacha when you're older. You don't have to run to learn Torah. The Chiddush Rim said of arts. He said, I don't tell my Hasidim so much, you know, how to stay away from chet, you know, this. Because I teach my Hasidim they shouldn't have time for aver. That's the Chiddush Rim used to say. I teach them they shouldn't have time for us to do an aver. They shouldn't have time for the Atar. And that's such an emissary insight. If we don't have what to do, we end up with chet, problem, the Atar, fights with us. If you're busy, you don't have time for these things. You don't have to fight the Atar. The Atar doesn't, you don't have time for him. You're busy. That's not the reason. How be some law that the person should be busy. Sorry?
Alright.
Right. Similar idea. Yeah, same idea, different application, same idea. Exactly. That's not a good thing. You have to learn Torah, work. Oh, when we say work, by the way, we could mean whether your malach is Torah. If you make Torah your malach, that's the best thing of a person. But a person has to feel a seepik, has to be busy. I always think to myself, like they say, you know, win the lottery, right? You know, the play Powerball is 600 million. If it was 100 million, I wouldn't go. But 600 million, maybe it's because I already, you know. You know, you ever notice that? There's like long lines in Powerball is like 600 million. People are interested. I mean, 600 million, I'm here. 100 million, yeah, suck a die. 600 million, I'm interested. I never thought that. Like, 100 million wouldn't do the trick. Hey, if they make the joke, taxes is 40, it's a 60 million. It's not good enough. No, whatever. Now, I wouldn't want to win the lottery right now. I don't know if I'm on the level that my whole life I could be, you know. I personally don't feel like Rabbanis. I personally don't want to be a Rav, whatever reason. I don't think it's for me, let's say, right? So what am I going to do? So I'm just to sit and learn the whole day. I love learning. I want to learn. But I need something else on the side, let's say. I need to be busy. So if I won the lottery, chas v'shalom, this is the way to win, you know. If chas v'shalom, people like me are the ones who win. If I chas v'shalom won the lottery, what am I going to do? What's going to be my goal in life? So I'm not in love with one 24/7. What? I'm gonna want to do a business deal, try to make $50,000. There's no motivation. What am I gonna do? I'm gonna keep busy. Person has to keep busy. I have some love. So what? Win the lottery and then what? So, and then what? When you're not learning, what are you doing? I guess you could do chesed, you could do stuff, you keep busy, fine. But the idea is, you have to be busy in life, you have to have goals. It's good. A person has more menucha when he works, he's happier. It's a natural thing. They did studies. The person, people who are, oh, I just heard a study recently. What was the study? They did some study on these rich people that inherit money, that they're just less happy, they get into more trouble, more. I just heard about Donald Trump and these people. I just heard a study on just now. Right. Oh, if you work for the money, much happier than if you inherit the money, and that's a pasha. It's not a chiddush, you know. But it's good to hear a study. Ohevus amalacha. That's so much happier. You're busy. You keep yourself busy. Work. It's the best thing. And you won't sin. The Gemara says shemus. We learned it today. So maybe the shemus. If you come to, you go mishuga. Work is such a good thing for us. Everything Hashem did for us is good. So even the clothes that Hashem gave us, that we have to work for a living, even that is good. There's some good in that. The end of the mission is Al Tisvar Al Rosh. Don't become known to the government. Don't get involved with the government. The idea is a person that a lot of times wants to be involved with the government. He wants to be, you know, be chashim, have connections, rule over people. You know, he wants to have a good connection to the government. So that's a connection to Sos Rabbanus. It's an inyan of Rabbanus to become tight with the government. You become, you're in over there. You're a chashim guy. You rule over people. So why shouldn't you become so close to the government? The answer is because they're going to start making you do things. They only need you. Why? They only need you because for they only want to be close to you for what they need you for. And if they, let's say they want you to do something which is maybe not Hashem, it's a conflict with Hashem. You're going to maybe chas v'shalom. I think the Bar Kinura says this. Rabbeinu Yonah says this. You'll end up being parakol malchus shmaim v'omitzus. Why? Because you're busy impressing them, making sure they're happy. It's hard to make sure Shnei Rishuyim is happy, and you're nervous for them. They're powerful. So once you get involved with them, they already start telling you, and then it becomes a conflict to Avodas Hashem. They want you to do this, they want you to do that. You start slowly give up your religion. You give up Avodas Hashem. So it's better just to stay away from them, not to get involved with them. You don't bother me, you know, I don't bother you. We don't know each other, there's no problems. But once you start getting involved, you start, you know, this and that. It's tough in the government to stay straight, to stay on track. You're meshubba to all these other things. My father has a friend who's a sort of Rebbe, my father, who's an Eretz Yisrael, he has a shul. He's very involved in the politics over there. He has his ideas, and in general, we know that, you know, a lot of times everyone has their ideas, and the government never is, you know, they never bother you. Like, everyone's always unhappy with the government. Everyone knows what's right. And a lot of times, a whole block of people, like, the country wants a certain thing, and the government doesn't do it. What's bad? The answer is, once you, so this person called my father, he says, my father said, why don't you just go in and, you know, do what has to, Eretz Yisrael, do what has to be done. You'll have a lot of support, you'll garner support, you'll build support. Why don't you just go and get the job done? You have good shittas. Get, at least get a position, be a cabinet minister, whatever. He told my father, he says, once you're in there, you're corrupt. He said on himself, he said, I know, if I go in there, I'll become corrupted. Because you're meshubba to all these other things in government. You know, political, you have to be, except you have to have enough party votes here and there. You can't keep to your position. You can't keep to your, you know, you got to toe the party lines and this, that. You can't keep stark. That's the nature of government. It's all, you can't really keep to what you feel is honest. So that's why he said he's not going to get involved. Okay.
Love the work. It's not the rabbanus and hate the rabbanus. The alt is vada la rasha. Don't become known. I think tzvada. I think it's rasha to be known. Don't become known to the government. Rasha is the government. So pashas the pshat is, you know, love work, love to work. Hate rabbanus. Like, don't become chared. I don't know. Don't be a rab. Don't be. Rabbanus can mean either like a person who's a parnasal, like a ruler, somebody who rules over others, a rav, maybe a rabbi, I don't know. Don't become a rav. Don't be, hate rabbanus. And al tisvar al rosh, don't become known to the government. Okay.
Hate being in that level, hate being like a hate rabbi, hate like, hate the
position. The position, oh. So we're going to ask the Mishnah Zuh, Rabu Hadbik Tukim. There's many shilas in this Mishnah. to get to what the Mishnah really needs to say. We have a lot of questions that will lead us to the real shot. First of all, it doesn't say Ehoiv melacha usna rabbanus. Love to work and hate rabbanus. It doesn't say that. It says Ehoiv esha melacha. Love the work. Love the work. Usna esha rabbanus. Hate the rabbanus. If you want to say a person, you should love work. You should love to work. Love working. Say Ehoiv melacha. Love to work. What's Ehoiv ha melacha? Ehoiv esha melacha. Love the work. That's a deal. What's ha melacha? Also, snow is harabonis. Say, hey, rabbonis. Hey, what's snow harabonis? What does that mean? So harabonis. That's another deal. That's the first deal. Also, is the Mishnah telling us not to be a rab? We shouldn't have rabbonim. No rabbonis. Nobody should go into rabbonis. Stay away from that job. Don't be a rab. Is that what the Mishnah is saying? Thirdly, the derech in Pirkei Avos seems to be that we should take certain midas. We should be like this, we should be like that, we should not be harchek, me this, you should be having, you know, you should be me, you know, amidu tavidim harbe, you know, do this, don't do that, stay away from this, come close to that. What's the lashon? You should love to do, if one say good malach, say, asu malacha, you know, harchek gatz b'cham yirabonis. What's the lashon? All of a sudden we get involved with loving and hating. You should love malacha, you should hate rabbanus. That's another idea. What's the, why all of a sudden this love-hate going on? You should say, do this, do that. That's the derech in Pirkei Avos. What's all of a sudden? El hoiv usno. Also, l'chayra, you know, suri rav asei toiv, you know. You should say, you know, hate rabbanus and love malacha. You know, first you get rid of the bad, right? Suri rav asei toiv. Snos rabbanus vasei malacha, it should say. And also, what does it mean, altus vada l'roshas? Shouldn't come known to the government, we said. And what's the kasha to the Mishnah? The Mishnah's telling me a lesson. Ha'ev is malach, it's not rabbanus. It must be, it must be. I know you say something about that, but I think over here it must be a connection. It has to be. It's like a little tail end again. We always like to explain the kasha, the continuity of the Mishnah. Oh. So, l'chayra. So my rabbi said a pshat like this. Rabbi Rabinowitz, Mishgeich, he was Mishgeich in Israel since Mukta Lakewood. He says a great shot. He says everything in the world, every action, every pu'ula, every pu'ula in the world, something that's done, has two parts to it. There's the malacha part to it, and there's the rabbanus. There's the actions, all the actions that have to be done, the pu'ula's what you have to do, and then there's the rabbanus, there's the shtelts of it, the shteltskeit. He used two examples that he gave. One example he gave was, let's say, electricity in a house, turning on the lights, right? So what's the rabbanus of the light? When someone flicks the switch on, right? That's rabbanus. Turn the switch on. It's rabbanus. What's the malacha? The malacha is all the wiring that had to be done. Somebody had to wire up the place, you know, bring the wires down to the fuse box and get the power in, where the power should come in. That's the malacha, the work involved. And getting that light on, there's the malacha part, and there's rabbanus, the chashivas, right? Turn the light on. Wow, the guy got light. The guy, he's the one who you give all the credit, right? He turned the light on. The other guy who did all the wiring, wired the whole place up, no one sees that. That's malacha, that's the work, that's the real hard work going on. The other thing is rabbanus. He said another example, a bakery. You go in the morning to the bakery. In ninth grade, we used to go home every night to Yeshiva. Yeshiva was outside of town, 20 minutes away from Toronto, a little north suburb of Toronto. So we used to have a bus pick us up, a different, you know, area. Everyone lives along Bathurst Street, it's a long street. And basically, all different ways, you know, everyone who lives in a certain section, they all wait in that area on Bathurst Street, and they get picked up at that stop. So our stop was in the bakery. We used to stay in the bakery every morning at 7 o'clock, we'd be in the bakery. So we used to see the guy come up, you know, with the baker would come in with these freshly baked, you know, cheese danishes and shavuot, you know. Looks like it's a chosh, everyone comes, you know, everyone wants to buy, turns around, he comes up with the baker with the freshly baked stuff. That's the rabbanus. What's the malacha? At 3 o'clock in the morning, some guy was switching away, kneading the dough, you know, getting everything ready, the oven, you know, putting the chocolate, making the chocolate, you know, the whole thing, the cocoa. That's the malacha part. The rabbanus is coming in. I'll tell you more. What about a bacher? Okay, a bacher goes through elementary school. He has rebbeim. third, you know, in third grade, you know, first second grade, learns how to write, how to read, whatever. Earlier, learns how to read, write, you know, write Hebrew script, Rashi letters, you know. Then he learns. He goes old, gets older. Maybe fourth grade, fifth grade, Gemara. He starts learning Gemara already. And there's a Rebbe who shvitzes with him, teaches him Gemara, like real fundamentals, right? You remember these Rebbeim? Probably, you know, a little bit, you know. Then you get older, and you have a Rebbe chasing you around yeshiva, mashkiach, flying after you. And then you get older, and then you're ready in Beis Medrash, and still with someone chasing after you sometimes. And then you go weiter, and Eretz Yisrael, you're the chash of a Rebbe, you want to keep the cash with him, he's a chash of a yid, you know. And then you get married, and you mechavik your Rebbeim under the chuppah, they have a bracha, or Sada Kedushin, Sida Kedushin, the Shosh Hashiva, he's my Rebbe, everyone looks, what a good Talmud he is, what a wonderful chassid we have, and he's a product of this Rebbe, wonderful. That Rebbe, who walks down the chuppah, and who gets the Sada Kedushin, gets the bracha, that's Rabbanus. That's the Rabbanus. It's not a bad thing necessarily in this situation. Could be that Rebbe did a lot of malacha also. That's Rabbanus. What's malacha? That's the Rabbanus. The Stoltz, he's the Rabbanus of producing this Talmud. The Rabbanus, marries him off, chashuv, everything. Dance with him, the first dance. The malacha is that Rebbe who toiled in fifth grade, teaching the guy how to read a Gemara, teaching him what Hechidami means. Hopefully that was the fifth grade. Teaching him Hechidami, Raminu, he went through, teaching him how to read. All those Rebbeim, that's the malacha part. And could be that Rashiva did Rabbanus also, chasing after him, in Yeshiva also. But the Rabbanus chelik of it is that honor, the glory part, the glorious part. Bringing in the chocolate, turning the light on, walking, coming by the chuppah, But the malacha is all the stuff that goes on behind. Ahayvis and malacha, says the Mishnah. You should love the malacha part. You should do the work. You should work hard in this world. You should get things done. You should do things. Usnas Ravonis. Hate the glory part. Just the fancy, bringing, the end result, the part that gets all the praise and recognition. Hate that. Ahayvis and malacha. Now, about it, because a malacha, you have to do that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but the Mishnah's not saying a Rebbe shouldn't walk his, But love that part. Hate that part. About it, you have to do it. Snaz Rabbanus. That's not really what your goal is, to be honored as the Rosh Hashiva who walks up from all the way in the back to come up the 10-minute walk to the chuppah to the way he calls it. No. What he loved, the malacha part. Not the honor of being a Rosh Hashiva. Love the malacha part. A lot of times people complain that they do so much work. Let's say there's a dinner, right? So on the dinner they have the chashuva names, the chashuva chairman, so-and-so. Then there's another guy, his name's not there, but he does mamash all the work. He's doing all the legwork. They tell him what to do. He makes the dinner happen. Or in organizations. There's someone who does all the work, and there's another guy, he gets he's called the president of the thing, So the guy has ties, the simple guy who's doing all the work. He feels, why is his name there? Why is he? That guy's the Rabbanus. He's the Rabbanus. Your job is, ahayvus ha-malacha. Love the malacha. Love to do the work. That's what really counts. That's what you get scarred for. That's what is really doing the right thing. Don't feel bad to covet. Don't do it. Love the malacha. Love the work part. It's not the Rabbanus. It's a gavadik of shad. I think it's a great shot. Also, could be another shot. Ahayvus ha-malacha. It's not the Rabbanus. Along the lines of what we're saying, it's all similar. That if you're a Rav, right? It's not saying not to be a Rav. Be a Rav. But snas Rabbanus. Hate the Rabbanus part. Ahayvus ha-malacha. Love the work. Learning, making sure you're Klor and Hilchos Shabbos, make sure you're a Bucky, helping people. People call the Shilas always. You have to go. Unfortunately, if there's a Levaila lane or you go to a Simcha, you always have a speech prepared. You help out here. You do. You're involved with the Erev. See the Kedushin. Ahayvus ha-malacha. Love the malacha part. Snas Rabbanus. Hate the Kavod. Hate the Rabbanus. And then you'll be matzliach. That's people will like you. Don't run after the covet, the rabbanis. Love the malacha part, the work part. A person could want to be a rav. It's taka, an honorable thing. You chashuv yid. You're in charge of this. You walk in. They sit you in the front always. They get out. People mechavid you. Ahayvus ha-malacha. Don't love that part. Ahayvus ha-malacha. Love the work, the service of the klal. That's what you should love. Chayim says, "Hey, tonight I want to learn this Mishnah up together with the mass crowd that's here tonight, gathered here. Those those in the back, and there's chairs up here in the front. You can those in the doorway. There's plenty of room in here up in the front.
Okay. All right, settle down.
All right. Hey, don't let anyone else in. There's no room anymore. Chachamim. Okay, so tonight I want to learn off this mission. This is a Shver Mishnah. Okay, it needs a lot of explanation. We'll try to go through it. Chachamim, hisar b'divreichem. Chachamim, be careful with your words. Shema sechuv uchayvas galus. Maybe you'll be chayv to be in galus. V'siglu l'mkayim mayim harayim. You'll go be exiled to the place of the dirty, to the bad waters. And the Talmidim that come afterwards will drink. V'yamusu, and they will die. V'nimse, it'll come out. Shem Shemayim Yischal, that the Shem Shemayim was desecrated. Okay, so again, the Chum has to be careful with their words. Why? Now let's see how much sense this makes at first glance. Why? Be careful with their words. Because maybe they'll go to Golus, they'll be by the bad waters, and the Talmidim will drink, and they'll die, and Shem Shemayim Yischal. What's going on over here? So, let's learn about Barat Shemayim. Barat Shemayim explains what's supposedly the most special shot in the Mishnah. Barat Shemayim says, he's hard with the brecha, be careful with your words. Why? So that you shouldn't leave a makam for minim to be tight, to have a toes in what you're saying. They shouldn't misunderstand you at all. You should make sure that your words are clear and concise. No double meanings, no makam for a troublemaker to stop in what you mean, right? It's like politicians, they have to be so careful, right? The liberals have to be so careful what they say. Why? Because the conservatives will talk shows will tear apart. They don't even have to tear them apart. They say stupid things anyways. But let's say fuck it. The conservatives have to be careful what you know where I am. The conservatives have to be careful what they say, because if they say one word that could be misconstrued, they'll play the tape only halfway, you know, and then they'll totally misconstrue what they said. You have to be so careful.
It's all liberal.
You have to be careful what you're going to say. Fine. Make sure no one can misunderstand. Why? Because maybe you'll go into Golas and talk to Bartanur. You'll be in a place, meaning even though now, where you are, there's no meaning, there's none of these bad Talmidim around, but maybe one day in the future, you go into Golas and you'll be in a place where there's Mayim Harayim, Abikorsim. That's the lesson that the Rambam says. It's a keynote for Abikorsim. Then there'll be Apikarsim over there. And then these people that are Mara Punish like Halacha, Sati Bartanura, they'll understand from your words things which are not proper. They'll misunderstand you.
Okay?
You'll be Chayef. Maybe you. The Yitz Chacham that we're speaking to, these Tamil Chachamim, maybe you'll be in Golos. Maybe you'll have to go out in the world one day. You'll be stuck in a different place, not in your shir. And what's going to happen? Those Minim, their Talmidim, will learn from their meanings that they understood from you, because they misunderstood your words. And those Talmidim will understand from these Minim improperly. The Amusu, and then these Talmidim will die. From other Avers, they'll be off. They'll have the wrong Ashkof. And Nitz Hashem Shemayim Nischal, because there'll be deus, these wrong deus in the world that were misconstrued. So Rabbi, I have a lot of questions over here. First of all, why do the Chachamim have to be Zar B'Dirayim today? Because maybe they'll be in Golos. Why is it to be Zar today? Today you're giving the highest shir in the yeshiva, you're the Rosh Yeshiva. You're speaking to the future Gedolei Hador, the wonderful Talmidei Chachamim, sitting in Lakewood, New Jersey. What do you have to worry about Minim over here? And he's Zar B'Dirayim because maybe you'll go to Golos. If you go to Golos, you'll be careful. Right now everything's cool. We're relaxed now. We're around Hamish HaKavra. What are we worried about? That's number one. Question number two. Who are these people that we're worried that they'll misunderstand, that these meaning that will misunderstand you? Is it the pshat that they'll misunderstand you, Taka? They really will not understand. They'll make an error in what you mean to say. Or are these people lahachis, you know, minim, apikarsim? Because the lesson of the Bartanura is, first I thought they were chlor apikarsim, that's how most recite them. But you look at the Bartanura, he says, what does he mean? He means that they'll understand into it, or they'll really misunderstand? What does he mean? So
now we're not sure. Are these good guys or bad guys? Are they like just they'll make? We're worried that the Chachamim will say something, they'll make a mistake, or that they're going to read into it. So you have to be extra clear what you're saying. I'm not sure. Then he says you have to be worried. Maybe the Talmidim that will come from, will listen from them, will get messed up. What about them themselves? So you're again, we're worried that maybe you'll be giving speaking someday to people, and they'll misunderstand, and their Talmidim will be off the dark, so to speak. They'll have wrong dais. So what about them themselves? When you say they'll misunderstand, and they'll have wrong dais, those meaning themselves will misunderstand, maybe. But the Mishnah says, read the Mishnah. Chachamim, what does it say? Shmuel. Read the Mishnah. Chachamim.
Zaru with the
Shema. Okay.
And
you'll and these Ma'am Haraim are these people that are Minim, these Minim. And then Yishtik Minim, Abay Machraim, their Tamidim will learn from them and then they'll be a Mushim. Oh, that's a shot. It's a Tamidim. Everyone knows the Tamidim. Why are we worried about the Tamidim? What about them themselves misunderstanding?
Why isn't the Tamidim the Chacham?
But that's not what it is. That's not what we're worried about. We're worried about
Ma'am Haraim and the Tamidim be the same.
Maimarim say that are the apikorsim. And then they explain the Yishim Talmidim means the Talmidim of the. That's how the apikorsim explained. They learned Talmidim are separate people. Talmidim of those Maimarim. So what about the Maimarim themselves? Why aren't we worried about the Maimarim themselves? Look at the Bar Tanur. You'll see straight up. He says. Then it's a use Talmidim Maimarim from those words to bring meaning. Okay, that's also. I'm not sure about that. Also, if this person doesn't learn with Talmidim, we know there's some people who are very makbid or gamil, that not to learn with the Talmud chain, toichel kabare, people that are not, Talmidim that are not mugunim, Talmidim that are not proper, right? To makbid, you don't just teach tire to anybody, to make sure they're proper. So if this person, right, doesn't have to worry when he's at home with his words, because he has good Talmidim. So why is he going to have to worry on the way? Well, he's going to all of a sudden change his philosophy and start teaching the thing. Okay, close up. There's no one to teach now. Why is he going to be teaching Torah to these people now? To Talmidim to Enim Ugonim. Meaning, he doesn't have to worry about it now. Only when you go into the Gulf, when you're elsewhere. Then you have to be careful about these raw, these meaning that will understand your words. So today you don't have to worry about it. Why? I guess you don't have these kinds of Talmidim around. So why then are you going to teach these people? Also, it's Dafka the Chacham. We're worried here. Chacham, myself, we learn Hashas. We understand it's talking about the Shir. He's teaching Tyra. But really, it says, the Dibreichem, with your words. But be stam schmoozing, stam words. Be careful what you say, how you're quoted or misquoted, your dais. Not after you're giving an Ian Shir. So why Dafka the Chacham have to be careful? Anybody, any Yid should be careful. Why the Chacham? Also, another interesting thing, it's also good kasha. Why are we worried that the Talmidim will hear from those Minim, from what the Minim understood from you, and they're going to have wrong days? I'm saying, if these are Talmidim of Minim, they're not hearing great things anyways. Right? They're here listening to the Mayim Haraim. Shema Yalot, so maybe Talmidim will come later and they'll hear from the Mayim Haraim. Bad things. So what? So you see something they misconstrue? They're hearing bad things anyway. They speak to these people, they hear bad things anyways. What's pshat? I think the pshat's like this. I think the pshat is that we're speaking over here about chachamim, that when they're in their daladam, inshallah, everything is fine. Like we said, they're with people, there's no problem, there's not an issue. What happens is they could have to go out. They're out in the world, they're not where they exactly want to be on their in their Daladamas, in their yeshiva, in the Beis Medrash. And they meet other kinds of people. These Minim could be people that they don't look like, they don't say min on their forehead, you know. They could be people that are shtickle antagonistic against Chamin Chachamim, against from a Yidin. They have bad ashkafas, they're looking to start problems. And they speak to other people who are their Talmidim. People listen to them, people hear them. And basically, you have to be careful how you speak in front of these people. Because they'll misconstrue you and they'll say, oh yeah, they'll speak to other Talmidim of theirs, who are just regular innocent people that maybe they have an influence on. They'll say, oh yeah, him, so-and-so, yeah, this, this Rav, this Rosh Hashanah, you know what he said? You know what he said about you? You know what he said about this, that one? You're a guy, according to him. Or he feels this way. This is Ashkafa. And then the other guy will be turned off because he's saying, oh, some is the material they always have, and you'd love to accept them. When they say, oh, Reb so-and-so said this, the grace of Rosh Hashiva, you know, then already they have a power over you. So the Chum have to be so careful to make sure they're not misquoted. Be careful how people hear you. Chas v'shalom, these meanim, these troublemakers, these apikorsim, and there are apikorsim in our midst. There are these meanim, people that are taka rishoyim. And what's going to happen is, they're going to, not hear, but I'm saying they're around, you know? You see them. So you have to be so careful what you say, because maybe you'll be in, right? Why? Because when you're in Golus, meaning when you're not where you want to be, sometimes you have to go out, you have to go around, here, there, and you'll be in Makom Mayim Harayim, these Mayim Harayim they're called. And then Talmidim Bayim Achareim, other people that they speak to, that they have Ashman, the Amusa, they'll cause other people to be off. Rav Shach's a hate monger, you know? I think when I was young, seriously, my mamish had, for whatever reason, that influence, I thought Rav Shach was Chas v'shalom, I shouldn't say. You know, because I was just brought, you know, the people, you know, people that don't know, you know, whatever, modern people, whatever, they don't know. Of course, we know, whatever, Baruch Hashem, I learned more about who Rav Shach was and everything. He was mamish the sweetest man, any famous Rav Gifter tape, right? But how he got the conservative reform people to meet Rav Gifter, to meet Rav Shach, and they said, he exudes love, you know? But tell them they can misquote him, you know, tape half the thing, say what he said, a statement here and there, and then that's it. They you know, say, yeah, the leader of the Haredim is a hate monger. You have to, right? That's dumb. Yes, you have to always be careful. Why Chacham Dafka? We have to be careful because we're the ones that they're looking to chab. Chachamim. B'nai Yeshiva, they're watching you, they're looking at you. They see how you act. If you come to shul and you act a little, whatever, they're not going to look at all the other people. They're going to look at you and say, ha, in Yeshiva. They're mentioned, they walk around like schlubs. This is how they talk. This is what they say. They speak during davening. You know? You speak during davening in shul. You think no one notices when you come home. It's a chil Hashem midaraisa. There's no question. Because even other people who make talk during davening, they talk the whole davening. They see you, chabbi, watch the move. During the whole day's night, during the shots, they point the finger. These are the Chacham. So therefore, Chacham, he's our B'Dibreta. Be very careful. We asked the question, the first question we asked was, why do I have to be careful today? Why today do I have to be careful? When I go and go, it's when I'm out in the world with those people, I'll be careful. And the answer is a major Yisoid. It's an unbelievable Yisoid. And the answer is, you're not going to change overnight. A lot of people say, you know, then I'll change. You know, tomorrow I'll change. Today, of course not, right? The Destiny song. Tomorrow is the day I'm going to change. Not today, right? Tomorrow I'm going to change. My Rebbe says a mashal. So this guy, he's in a car, he's going downhill, okay, slowly downhill, and he wants to put on the brakes, you know, he wants to slow down, see something, check something out, and the brakes, it's not, you know, pushes all the way down, nothing happens, the brakes are broken. And, you know, he's only going downhill. I'm not going to stop later. If he just turns the wheel to the right a little bit, he'll bash in, there's a little, some bushes there. He'll smash into the bushes, he'll get, you know, he may bash up the fender a little bit, but it won't be so bad. He says, no, I'll go a little more, you know. So now he's already going 35 miles an hour. I'll go a little more. The guy's crazy. I'll change it, he'll do it later. I'll change later. Not today, tomorrow. Tomorrow, forget it. If you can't change today, you're not going to change tomorrow. Today, change now. Now's the time to change. People say they're going to change later, they never change. And on that, tomorrow never comes. So you tell Chachamim, Hizar the Reichem, change now. Watch how you speak today, and then you'll be careful tomorrow. So if you don't watch how you speak today, you think it'll happen automatically tomorrow? No, it comes out. The way you speak now is the way you'll speak then. Or a lot of times people may say, you know, when I get married, you know, then I'm going to act differently. When I get married, then I'll be a mensch, I won't lose my temper, I'll be married. I'm going to quit smoking when I get married. Maybe one in 10 million guys quit smoking before he's married. But if you're not going to do it today, you're not going to do it tomorrow. If you want to be different then, change now and you'll be prepared for then. But when I have kids, you know, everyone knows the best chinuch for children is by example. So, right? If you try to tell your kids one thing and do another thing, it's not going to happen. You're not going to have good kids. So feel that like somebody has a problem with cursing after Shabbat, right? For whatever reason. I'll never got that Yitzhara. It's really annoying. Sorry. So let's say someone says, you know, I'm going to stop cursing, right? No, I'll stop when I have kids, in front of the kids, you know, in front of the kids I want. There's no way the kids are not going to hear him cursing. You change that, you'll be okay then. It's a major insight. Therefore he says, Chachorim hizaru b'divreichem today, shemes v'chlu v'chlev his goal is tomorrow. This whole Indian of hizaru, being careful, I had a tremendous mindset that happened to me. Terrible myself. It still gives me the creeps when I remember this story. But you have to be so careful, especially as Bnei Torah. I was in the Ir HaKodesh in Tzfas, by the basic forest over there. I was sitting on the top of the stairs, like a good yeshiva bachur, wearing a hat and jacket, a white shirt, black pants, nice short haircuts. And I was saying some tilim over there. It's an awesome place. Anybody who's there, it's an awesome place. And all of a sudden, two chaver come over, two guys come by. Not weird, they don't look Jewish, you know. Probably they're not from, whatever, they start schmoozing with me. They're Christians from Holland. Very nice, Christians from Holland. They hear, they start schmoozing, they start, oh, you're saying the songs. Oh, this is my favorite one, is Psalm 59, whatever, you know. And he's like, I stand up, whatever. And I'm being polite, you know, I'm fine, I'm like, whatever, you know, it makes me nauseous, like, fine, whatever. And he kind of like walks around me, you know. And before I know it, his friends, okay, snapping pictures. And he's got pictures of me in my hat and jacket, you know, kind of looking in over there, you know, with this other guy. And I freaked out. I said, I gotta go. I ran away, but I packed out of there. What was going on? You know what's going on. Now they have pictures. They're a bunch of missionaries. Now they have pictures just to give themselves validity. See? They go to people that don't know, right? People that don't know. And they show a picture. Yeah, you know, this is a Tom was here studying with a rabbi. They're very good friends. They study every Sunday. Here's one occasion, you know. Be so careful, what's something to do? But like, you gotta be so careful. There's a pellet of devices. So when I saw this Mishnah, I thought of that story, like, okay, there's not really much to be learned from that, but you gotta be so careful, it's crazy. You gotta be careful. My Rebbe told me about this stifler. This is also Rabbi Rabinowitz. Moshe Rabinowitz. He was learning at Kishol in the mirror, and someone had a Shiloh about a certain, whether he should undergo a certain procedure, an operation, and he had a Talmud of the stifler right up this Shiloh, the whole Shiloh written up, and needed it to be sent to the stifler. Right, so Talmud of the stifler wrote up the Shiloh in language the stifler is familiar with, and the right handwriting, right, like the Gabbai does over here, he writes it, right? And usually the Gabbai write up Kvittles because the rabbis used to their handwriting, I guess it's fine. The Shilohs are not, and my Rebbe's going to Bnei Brak anyway, so they say, okay, we'll send it with you. Send it with my Rebbe, the Shiloh to go to the stifler, bring it into the stifler of Bnei Brak. My Rebbe comes into the stifler, and the stifler tight, goes through, waits a line, gives him the paper, and the stifler is reading it. And the stifler looks up to my Rebbe and says, he's in the middle of reading it, and he goes, what do they think? I have Ruach HaKodesh or something? So Rabbi Sandler, like, he doesn't know what to say. He's like, he can't tell him no. Like, you know, he the God of Zara, you know, he probably did have Ruach HaKodesh, you know. But Rabbi felt, you know, he's not going to say, oh, no, you don't. And the disciple didn't want to hear, yes. Oh, yeah, you do. He didn't want to hear that either. He was like, what do you think? I have Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi didn't know what to say. The disciple looked at him and said, Arais! He threw him out of there. He threw him down. Why? Because the stifler wanted to make sure people know, okay, he wasn't one of the boys at all, but he wanted people to think he's normal. They shouldn't make a god out of him. They shouldn't think he's up to something. He was careful. It shouldn't be misconstrued. He's horrible divreichem. Careful with your words. Be careful what people think. When you're on that level, you have to be so careful. You shouldn't be misunderstood. Everyone's watching. Very good. Go ahead.
Let's talk to Mishnah. Mishnah Yipes. Mishnah Yipes. All right. Hillel and Shammai, Hillel and Mehem. Hillel and Shammai were mekabel from them. From Shmai Vavtai, Hillel Omer, Hillel says, Hevi mitamid shel Aaron, you should be from the Talmidim of Aaron. Oyev Shalom, they love Shalom. Peace lovers. Emesib, Oyev Shalom. Veredik Shalom, they run after Shalom. Oyev Sabrias, they love the people. Umakarban la Torah, and they bring them close to Torah. A bunch of the Kudus over here. First of all, how can you be a Talmud of Aaron? Aaron was Nifter many years ago. How are you a Talmud of Aaron? Hayais. He's telling us to be, right? A Talmud of Aaron. Hayais, that you could be a Talmud of Aaron. Even though he's not alive anymore. Because the Peshad is a Talmud is someone who goes in the ways of that person. You could be alive in the life of the time of another person. You can even go to their Shia and you can listen to them. But if you don't follow in their drachim, in their minhagei kodesh, in their ways, so you're not an emes talmid. You can't call yourself a talmid of them. L'mashal, you have today Rabbi Reisman, Shlita, right? So he's a talmid of Rapam. You could say he's a talmid of Rapam. He talked about everything is with Rapam. Whatever Rapam did, he tries to emulate him. He's a talmid of Rapam. Or Rabbi Ratman. Rabbi Ratman is a talmid of who? Of the Rav, of Rav Kreisworth, right? Why? Why is he a Talmud? Because he mamish goes, his mahalach in life is the Rav's mahalach, is Rav Kreisworth's mahalach. Maybe he could be called a Talmud. So come tell you, so we have the ability to be a Talmud of Aaron HaKayim. We could be a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, the Chavetz Chaim. If you're Makbid on spiritual Lashon, you're a Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim. More than maybe someone then who wasn't Makbid. You're a Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim. You could mamish be a Talmud of these people, Reb Chaim Shalevitz, the Rosh, the Rambam. You're their Talmidim. It's an unbelievable thing to think about. It's very inspirational. If you have a certain chukka natia, somebody has a Rebbe, Svarim he likes, you know. So you could mamish get a kesher to that tzaddik. It's Be'eretz HaChaim, but you could have a kesher to them, and you could be called a Talmud of them. Just by going in their ways. And that's why we're saying, have they me Talmidim shel Aaron? Didn't say be like Aaron. Be like the Talmidim of Aaron. Doesn't say. It says be from the Talmidim. Join the club. Join the Shir. Be an Aaron HaKayin Shir. Be Aaron's Talmud. It's a wonderful thing. It's very inspirational. Okay, that's the first thing we see. Ayyav Shalom V'Raydav Shalom. What's that? Ayyav Shalom V'Raydav Shalom. Raydav Shalom. You run after peace. Teretz, no, it's a second madriga. First you gotta love peace. It's not so pasha to love peace. You know, they say over a Maisa about, you know, it's a bunch of Yidden. In the mikveh, there's one big Haimish Yid. Big guy, you know. You heard this story? He's, you know, he's drying off after a nice mikveh and he says, He's eating a shtickle kugel. They have also over there a bissel kegel, Erev Shabbos kegel afterwards, and he's sitting and he's saying, he's sitting on the bank though. Let's vice tagoi for the Erev Shabbos mikveh, a heise mikveh, for the Erev Shabbos kegel. Let's vice tagoi for the geshmak and machloikis, you know? It's a pshat, because sometimes we enjoy it, you know, especially if we're not involved. We enjoy it sometimes. Oh, geshmak of machlekes, what's the reg, what's the politics, the hak, what's going on? No, it's the nature sometimes to enjoy. It's not me, enjoy it. No. First, you gotta be an ayiv shalom. You gotta love peace. You have to be an ayiv shalom, avaz yisroel, and then you'll be a reidiv shalom. Memela, you'll be a reidiv shalom, avada, of course. It's gonna be automatic. If it's a geshmak of shtikl shalom, a geshmak of shalom, not a geshmak of machlekes, a geshmak of shalom, Savar, you're going to be a Raita Shalom. There's no shaila about it. No, you'll be Raita Shalom. Okay. Oyvis Abrias and Makarvan Latira. You can't be Makarv someone unless you love them. Yeah? You want to be Makarv someone. You have to love them. You have to get inside their mind. You have to really care about them. There's a maisa with her Freifeld, with this this yid who was well off the derech. He was on Indian reserves or something. He was like he was already like an Indian, and somehow he ended up by Reb Freifeld. And he came to talk to Reb Freifeld. He was on his way back, I guess, or he wanted to find out. He was on his way back. I mean that he was headed in that direction, but he just because he wanted to find out, somehow maybe someone sent him there. But he was still Mamisha Hesa Indian, okay?
Native American. No.
He was out somewhere, and who knows where? You know, they go, they find themselves, they lose themselves, they go to these crazy places. And the kid, so he came to Reb Freifeld, and he wanted to speak to Reb Freifeld, and Reb Freifeld told him, you know, come back to me in a week. I want to talk to you. He had a good excuse why he couldn't speak to him at the time. The guy comes back a week later, and Freifeld invites him in. Reb Freifeld's on the phone, and he's looking around the office, you know, and he sees tremendous amount of svarim. They say Reb Freifeld had so many svarim, and he sees svarim everywhere, Sifrei Kodesh, and he looks on the floor, and he sees a stack of books, or a book, and he sees it's about Indian reserves. And he was so moved and touched. How Reb Freifeld didn't just want to indoctrinate him with his stuff. Reb Freifeld wanted to understand him. He saw Reb Freifeld cared about him. He wanted to, that's why he pushed him off a week. He realized that he wanted to learn about him. The guy was moved and touched, and the male of Reb Freifeld had a lot of hatzlacha with him. And that's the way, same thing with us. You can't just go and start, you know, throwing it down their throats and, or let's say a chaver who's from, but you want to help him along. No, you have to really love the person, and the person feels it, and then you'll be so much more misliach. There's another pshat along these lines. Kenzan, we could say that it's not pshat oyves abrias is step one umakarmel atayra, and then step two he'd bring them close to tayra, right? Pashti, read it. How do you read it? Oyves abrias, he loves people, he loves the abrias umakarmel atayra. And then Mamela, he'd go be Makarim them for Tari because he loved them. That's one shot. Ken's had another shot. Kulu could say it now a little more. Oyvis Abrius. Vayudeze Makarim Lotari. Meaning Aaron was Oyvis Abrius. And there wasn't a step two. That was the final step. He loved people. Mamela, they were Makarim Lotari. They wanted to be, they loved Aaron. They wanted to go, they wanted, right? They became close to
the fact that he went out of his way to love them.
Exactly. Gufa, because they saw how much he loved them, right away they became Karim Lotari. Sort of like the pshat, they say pshat over here in the Mishnah, that how is Aaron Makar of people? A lot of Aaron knew that someone was over Navera, right? He knew someone did Navera. So what did he do? Aaron, instead of, you know, Aaron would become very close to them, be very hamish with him, he'd be Makar of him, talk to him nice words. And the guy would go and say to himself, wow, Aaron Akain. If Aaron Akain would know what I just did and what kind of a level I'm on, he surely would be disgusted. He wouldn't talk to me. And the person has naturally, you'd have felt that way maybe before, right? The person naturally has a feeling he's going to do tshuva, and that's Gufa Howie's Makabim Zara. That's one shot. But also, I once was listening to the discovery. He came to yeshiva in Toronto, the Rabbi Daniel Mechanic, from Eshet Torah. So he's unbelievable. He's a Meyerdik. So it's too bad those tapes didn't come out well. They didn't have such good machines in those days.
But I have tapes.
Oh, good ones? I'd love to hear them. And Kitzer, he told us, how do you mikar of people? How do you, so you get them over for Shabbos, and you give them cholent, shloi mikarabach, and good vodka. That's what he said, how do you mikar of them? People want to feel geschmack, they want to be loved, because people know where the emes is. People feel, a lot of them, they feel, they know. The shot is, they need to feel a little love, they need to feel attachment, feel geschmack, feel comfortable. There's a vart by Sefer Bereshis, Avram Avinu with Yishmael. It says that he didn't give a chemas mayim. He sent away Hagar. He didn't give a chemis mayim, says Rashi. Why not? So Rashi, there's no chemis mayim because Levisha Soinoi, he hated him because he went with Tarvis Rab because he was after Derech. He hated Yishmael Pasha. Fine. Then it says by the Akeda, it says Shazer Kachas Binecha Asyachircha Asher Ahavto Es Yitzchok, the one you love. So Rashi goes through each step how Avram still didn't know who Hashem meant, Yitzchok or Yishmael. Then it says Asher Ahavta Zakrashi. Shnei Mari Oyev. Avram still said, I still don't know who it is, even though Hashem said Asher Ahavta, that didn't nail it down yet, because I love both of them. As Yitzchak, oh, now I know it's Yitzchak. Chayr Rabbeisa, it's a stira. In one place it says that he hated him. In one place it said he loved him. What's the pshat? Zocher v'chaim shalevet samar de gavart. Listen to what Reb Chaim says. He says, because you could only hate someone for going off the derech if you really love them. If you love him like a son, then you can hate him for going off. If you don't love him like a son, you can't really hate him for going off. Same thing. So you want to work on someone, you want to empower someone. You have to really care about them. Then you'll be mistaken.
You don't hate him. You hate the fact that I don't know. Hate him. It's up to me to...
He was so upset. No. What was the Malach of Aaron Akain? Famous Malach. What did Aaron do? Aaron would go to one person, he'd say, Chaim Yanko. Yisrael Ber, he would love to be a friend. He misses you so much. He's just a little embarrassed and he's nervous. He's dying to come over to you. And then you go to Yisrael Ber and you say, you know, Chaim Yanko's going through. He doesn't know what to do with himself. And then he'd make them... So the lesson is that you have to find tachpulais in everything, whether it's your own machlaikas or other people's machlaikas. It's not always so simple with all the emotions, all the neurotic second guessing. Figure out ways, but tachpulais. You got to make tachpulais. Yeah. So Hashem says an interesting vart. We mentioned before Aaron's mahalach of being very friendly to people that maybe we're not doing exactly everything right. And by Aaron's closest to them, they felt a certain busha, a certain embarrassment that Aaron felt close to them. Zok the Sfasemes, take it one step further. Says the Sfasemes, a person should do tshuva through busha to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The person knows how much he's lacking towards Hashem and his relationship with Hashem. And yet Hashem showers him with daily chasadim. The Rabbeinu Shalom gives him food every day. You know, when you have food on the table, you have to realize it didn't just end up over there. The Rabbeinu Shalom meant that you personally should have this meal. And you have air to breathe, and you have health, Baruch Hashem, and friends, and the yeshiva, and everything prepared for you. That's daily chasdei Hashem. Kavachomer, if you're nitzel from a tzara, you have a close call on the road, that's chasdei Hashem. So a person should be overcome with embarrassment. Oh, how I deal with Hashem and their Rabbeinu Shalom gives me all this good, I'm partially embarrassed. It's tshuva through Akar Satayv. It's a mahalach and tshuva. It's a well-known mahalach and tshuva. Tshuva through Akar Satayv, and it's really a bush, an embarrassment. How could I not have a different relationship with Hashem? So Hashem says another interesting thing about the Indian with Aaron. Havim tamid of shal Aaron, zot this vasemes. Be a tamid of Aaron. Some people, when they have a shaykhus with the agadol, you know, when they have a shaykhus with someone chashev, it only brings them gaiva. It only brings them gaiva. They feel all chashev, you know, that they have a relationship with someone special. Fakir, instead of it making them better, it just brings them to be more and more and more mizgoya. By Aaron, it was exactly the opposite. They had this busha, they had this embarrassment. They felt, wow, I'm shackled with Aaron, I have to live up to a certain madrega. So that's another thing that this Hasemis points out, that a person should have that reaction. When he has a shaykhus in Adagol, instead of having gaiva and feeling al chashiv that he rubs shoulders with Gedali Ador, Bakert, he should be overcome with busha and say, wow, I have to better myself if I have such a connection. So Hasemis also says the reason why by Aaron these people were on this madriga. So Hasemis points out that it was because of Aaron's madriga. Since he was still the Shem Shemayim, Memela, everything worked out with Toiva. All right, we'll do next week, Mishnah Yigamim. Boy, Yaimer, he used to say, Mishnah Yigamim. Boy, Yaimer. Hella used to say, Nigid Shema, Magid Shema, somebody who wants to have his name go out in the world, who wants to give himself a big name, who wants to be famous, Avad Shemei. Avad Shemei, his name gets lost. Udlam Maisif, Yosef. Someone who doesn't add, yasik, it'll be dissolved, it'll go away, it'll wither up. Who's a yolif, someone who doesn't learn, talachayiv, he's chayiv misa. Udyashtamish bisoga, and someone who makes use of the crown, chalaf, will also wither away, will be passed on. So first of all, this mission is in Aramaic. The obvious kasha is, why all of a sudden is the mission written in Lashon Arami? I don't know the answer to this. I saw one of the pshatim along the lines that the malachim don't understand. I myself didn't really understand this pshat. But not that I'm a malach or anything, yeah. But I didn't understand this pshat. I'm not sure why it's in Aramaic. But the idea of the mission, let's go through the mission. Let's go through the mission. The Gid Shema, somebody who tries to give himself a big name. So the famous pshat is, right? The famous pshat is, all right, that we know Avreich, somebody who runs after COVID. I read about the COVID. The COVID runs away from him, right? So that's the idea over here. A person who wants to try to give himself a big name, the name goes away. With Lama, he says somebody who doesn't add on. So what does add on mean? So Pashas the Mefarshim explain, it means somebody who doesn't add on in Torah. Somebody who doesn't learn Torah, somebody who doesn't add on to Torah, he's satisfied with what he has, Yosef. The original Torah that he has will go away. And I think we have a shtickle finish from here. Because normally we learn about Chazorah. You learn Daf Beis and Kedusha. You don't Chazor Daf Beis and Kedusha, that's right. You have to Chazor Daf Beis and Kedusha. Oh, but no, it seems to say a little more. It seems to say somebody to La Yosef, somebody who doesn't add on, doesn't keep learning more, Yosef, what he learned already will be gone.
We're just talking about
because Stamazai, the Indian of learning Torah, if you're not holding and learning, meaning you'll remember Daf Beis and Kedushin better and Daf Gimel and Dalet if you're learning Daf Vav now. If you're holding and learning, if you're learning Vayitu, you remember what you learned already. You learned a few Mesechtas, even if you maybe don't Chazda Hayisha, but if you learn more Mesechtas, you'll remember the original Masechta more. Just Pashta, because you're holding and learning. That's what it's mashma from this Mishnah. There's other pshatim, another pshat, with Lamasa, somebody doesn't add on, meaning he's happy with his chusim. Actually, before we get to that pshat, I think it's very negative to say, a lot of times people feel, you know, I was in yeshiva, when I was in yeshiva bacher, I learned, I shteigt, I went through, you know, elementary school, we still learned Gemara, high school, we suppose, right, we learned a little bit, hopefully, and then Beis Medrash, we learned, we had good years of learning, maybe even we're exactly learning koilo for a few years, and then we go out to work, and we kind of rest back, and we think, oh, yeah, but you know, I learned when I was a bacher, I'm learning, koilo I learned, now I'm working, you know, maybe daf yomi, right, maybe I learned daf yomi. So, and I think I'm satisfied with myself, like, you're supposed to learn when you're young, when you're in yeshiva, now, I'm kind of in cruise control. That l'chayr is our mission. The law ma'isef Yosef. Person doesn't add on Yosef. What he learns already will go away. That's not a mahalach. Another b'shad is law. Somebody who doesn't add schusim for himself. He doesn't look at schusim. Yosef. His original schusim will be gone. Will go away. Tahainu and alma ba. Person who feels, yeah, I did many mitzvahs. I did so many good things. Now I'm gonna just take care of things. You know, go on. I learned a lot of Torah. I did a lot of mitzvahs. I did chesed. I could just kind of go, like we said before, and cruise along. No, Yosef, it'll go away. A person has a long journey, a long, long journey, eternity, to be an Olam Haba. Can you have enough schosim? Is it shaykh? In this world, l'mashal, everyone's nervous, they should save up, they should have money for when they're older, when they're younger, they want constantly saving. Does anybody feel to have enough for their 70, 80, 90, 120 years in this world? No one has enough. Everyone's saving more, looking to save, to make another investment, to invest, to have money, invest a little more. It's never enough. But all of a sudden, when it comes to ruchnias, everyone feels like, you know, I did already. It's a much longer journey. Zok the Mishnah, Udala Maisiv, Yasef. If someone doesn't add on and add more schusim, schus over schus, more mitzvahs, more Torah, more kimas chasadim, more maisim tovim, more avos yisrael, a little more tefillah, a little better, more this, then Yasef, eventually it'll wither up, it'll dry up the schusim, the well will dry up. What are you going to do? You have to keep going. Udala Yalef Ketalachayim, someone, La Yalef, somebody who doesn't learn Bechlau, Pashachayim Misa. You're a boor. What are you doing over here? What schus do you have in this world? Yichayv Misa. That's the worst thing. Kashas. Agav, in terms of schusim, everyone looks in this world. The natural thing to do is you look at people around you. Everyone's comparing themselves, right? Everything's supposed to happen at the right time, right? When it comes for Shidduchim, if you're not married, so you feel a little ungezat. Why? Because all my friends are married now.
you know, let's say the age to get married would be, let's say, 25, and you'd be 23, and everyone's unmarried, you wouldn't feel so the need to get married. But everything's supposed to be in the right time. Everyone compares themselves. Everyone looks at other people in terms of gashmis, they see who has more than them. You don't look at the people that are poor, that have less. Everyone looks, he has this, he has that, he's so set up. Look at him, he's able to provide for his children, he's berabchus, he doesn't have such, you know, he has very good parnasa. Everyone looks at each other, you know, he has a bigger house, he has a nicer car, he goes on more vacations. And when it comes to ruchnius, we seem to look fakir. Ah, they're all not from. So I'm going to say these people, I'm a Hamish guy, I do this, I do that, I learned that. We look at the people who are lower. I learned Dafyami, how many people don't learn Dafyami, how many people are not from. Goyim in the belt, all of a sudden he feels a Zagreus Hashivus for himself. He doesn't look at the people that are Chamidi Chachadim, those are Echleis, you know, the minority, those people over there, right? When it comes to Ruchnius, we don't look at the people that are above, we look at the people who are below. Fakert, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. Punk fakir. We should look when it comes to gashmis, when our yitzhar tells us to look at all the people that have more, we should fakir. We should look at those that have less. And we won't feel we need so much more. We should compare ourselves to those that Taket don't have as much as we have. Then maybe if we look, we'll see. We don't realize, but if we look, we'll see. People have less than us. And when it comes to ruchnias, don't look at the, and sit on your, you know, sit on your achievements and what you have already. And say, oh, all these people have less. No, fakir, strive for great heights. Look at other people that have more ruchnius than you. Look at the Tamid Chachamim. That's why it's good to hang around Tamid Chacham. Hang around the yeshiva, because naturally, you're automatically going to raise yourself to a certain level where you feel comfortable. Whereas if you'd be around Amaratim, you wouldn't feel the need to maybe strive higher. So again, the lesson is like this. When it comes to ruchnius, look at those that have more than you. And when it comes to gashmius, look at those that have less than you. And you won't be in the category of la-maisif yosef. Adarabba v'adarabba, you'll add on, you'll look to add more, you'll feel the need that you don't have enough. U'dishtamish b'sadachal, somebody who's mishtamish, kisr shal Torah. Somebody who uses the crown of Torah for his own glory, it's the worst thing. Using Hashem's Torah for yourself, it's like your chayav misa. Let's go to Mishnah Yadalad. Kuya Aimer, he used to say, Hillel used to say, famous Mishnah, may I need Lee, if I am not for myself, me Lee, who will be for me? Who will take care of me? Take care of myself. Who's going to look after me? Ukshanila asks me, and if I am for myself, Ma'ani, what am I? The Imloy Akshav, and if not now, Imasai, then when? Yeah, may I need Lee, people feel the Machichim, the Rabbonim, my Rebbe, this one, that one. The bottom line is you have to take care of yourself. People are all there to help you, but at the end of the day, you have yourself to look at. There's no excuses. And when it comes to inspiration, a lot of times we feel, oh, I got inspired by a nice speech. Sometimes I get inspired, maybe even a nice nigga, a nice davening. I feel inspired. But the rest of the time, I don't feel inspired. We have to learn how to inspire ourselves. The man who needs me, Lee. Who's going to be for me? A person could inspire himself. You don't have to have a great speaker to inspire you. That's not good enough. How often do you have a great speaker? How often do you have such a inspiration from outside? What do the Gedolim do? They sing a nice niggin and they learn muster with a niggin, with a slavis, and they're ma'ir themselves, and they give themselves inspiration. Do things that inspire you. Start your fire yourself. Imeinu nili mili. Rav Shimon Shkop in Shar Yosher, I heard, once said over in his name, Pshat, in this Mishnah. And he says like this. He says that many people in this world want to take care of themselves. That's their, you know, their goal. That's what they want to do. They want to take care of themselves. Other people are, at least they want to take care of their wife and children, their family, parents. Other people may be a little bit their close friends. Others, they want to help. They feel a chrayus to the community. Others, for God's klal Yisrael, for the whole world. The people have different anis in this world. People have different things, right? It's such a low madrega, just yourself. Very high madrega to care about the whole world. So Zokrim Shimon, Shan the Mishnah is. Ukshanila Atsmi, Imanili Mili. If no one takes care of the ani, who's going to take care of the ani? The ani represents what I have to take care of, my achrayus, my responsibilities. The people that I take care of. Ukshanila Atsmi.
if the ani is me, the gansa ani is just atzmi. Ani v'asiyah, just me, nothing else. If that's the gansa ani, all I care about is atzmi, ma'ani, what am I? I'm a nothing. That's all I care about is just myself. So that's low. That's a zero. You're a zero. All you care about is yourself. What kind of madriga, selfish level is that? No, your ani should include what you care for should be your family, your community. Madrigas. You might ask for the emissary, if not now, then when? You said before the marshal about a guy who's going down the hill and his brakes cut out. And he's you know, this little marsh, his neighbor says to him, no, come on, you know, just pull in over there, you'll break the fender up a little bit and it'll be okay. No, he decides he's going to go a little more, it'll be easier then. No, I'll do it later. Now I should go bash it up. I'll do it later. Goes a little more and more, and before he knows it, he's going 95 miles an hour. Down, plunging to his death. Shem Yirachim. Same thing with the Yetzihara. Im lay achshav emesai, if not now they went. What's pshat in this kasha? Im lay achshav emesai. Im lay achshav emesai, what does that mean? It means if not now then when? It's never going to happen. The Yetzihara is strong, and tomorrow he'll be stronger. If you're not fighting the Yetzihara today, you'll be going 30 miles an hour tomorrow, and then 40, then 50. It's not Shaya. Rather struggle now a little bit, and you won't plunge to your death, chas v'shalom. Your ruach needs to get that. If not now, then when? Marshivi used to say that this world is an escalator. He used to call this world, his muscle that this world was, that this world is an escalator going down at, let's say, 2 miles an hour. And he says, if you're walking at 1 mile an hour, you're going downhill. You gotta be pushing more. You gotta work. You gotta do. And last, if not now, then when? You're just going down. You gotta work. You gotta work hard. In terms of like Achshav Emesai, a lot of times people feel, you know, like they feel, you know, I'm not holding the sugya now. The next sugya. I'll wait it out. Next sugya. That's why people like Baba Basa Cheskes Abatu B'Sichuk of Masechta to learn, because there's two dots every seven lines. You know. You're not holding the sugya. There's another ha'ugavra tomorrow. There's another ha'ugavra. But my person says, no, you are the gavra. There's only one gavra in this world. It's you. And if you're not organized today, and you feel, oh, tomorrow I'll be organized, I'll continue, I'm tired, I'll worry about it later, next month, next year, when I'm married, when I have a kid. Even if it happens, even if you taka do change, which is, you probably won't, because it's pushing off, you know? But even if you do change, Lamaisa, you lost today. Every day is a diamond. The Archaim HaKadosh and Parshas Vayechi is Mayrech. And every single day is basically is a diamond. When you sleep, I believe it goes up. What you did during that day goes up. I can't remember exactly. He explains the Indian of Shena of sleeping. That your diamond that you did that day goes up, or your neshama goes up, or what it was. Oh no, there's Netzaitzis, I believe. The neshama is made of many Netzaitzis. And Shina is the 60th of death, because Taka, some Netzaitzis, they go up to Shemayim, what you did. The bottom line is, the Rechaim HaKadosh is Mazber, and Baichi, I didn't get a chance to look it up, but he says that every single day is a diamond. So it could be Yoli Batsliach tomorrow, but forever you lost today. You have to fix today. Today's a diamond to be carved. You know what diamonds are. Diamond is carbon under pressure. It could be going to be nothing, or if it's under a lot of pressure, it turns into a diamond. So our job is to turn, right? Turn our life, turn every day into a diamond. Carve it out, make it perfect. It's not good enough to be good tomorrow. Every day is opportunity. Opportunity knocks every day. Shanil Atzmi Ma'ani, there's a mice about the Kura. I heard this mice one way. My Rebbeim, and then I heard it another way. I saw it another way brought down today. The way I saw it brought down today is that the Gra went to the Dilma Magid. He said to the Magid, please give me Musr. The Dilma Magid was frightened to give the Gra Musr. He's going to go give the Gadol Adar Musr, the shtick fire of the Vilna Gaon. He's going to go give him Musr. He didn't want to, but the Gra convinced him to give him Musr. So the Dilma Magid began to say, he says, Vilna Gaon, you think you're such a chush of a mensch, you think you're so, you know. You sit in your little room over here, you sit and learn, you don't go out in the world, you know, I'm the Sionist, you don't go out to, you know, you're over here by yourself, what's the big deal? What's the big Musr? So they say the way I saw it brought down here is that the girl was crying. And he felt the Musr And he said, that's Pshat in the Mishnah. If all I do is work on myself, I fix on myself, Ma'ani, what am I? That's the way I saw Maisa. The way I heard it originally was that the Tulumaga gave him this Musr. Taka told him, you think it's such a kunz? It's a kunz to sit in the room over here and sit and learn and steig and etc. Work on yourself. Go out in the world, there's these Yonis out there. You're not like the average Jew. So the way I heard it, the Gro was not impressed. The Gro threw him out. He said, okay, you're right, I shouldn't give me Musr. Because the Gro said, who said the kunz is to do kunzim? Who said the kunz is to go out and have these Yonis and overcome? Stay in the room, Taka. Do what you have to do. Stay away from the Yonis. All right, that'll be for today.